And welcome back, spooky people. This is That Spooky Life, and I am your host, Miranda, and I am happy that you have joined us today. I am feeling better. We are going to have a full normal episode today. Huzzah! Thank you for everybody who reached out and asked if I was doing well, and everybody who helped out and gave suggestions for our little mini episodes. I like those mini episodes. I got some stuff coming up this year that I might have to record some real quick and post them as I go. So I think I'm going to go with the mini episode idea. You guys seem to like it, and I appreciate you for that. Also, a special shout out to all of my moderators on the Facebook group and the Facebook page. You guys are amazing handling stuff as it comes up. You guys were super helpful. I wasn't feeling well, and I genuinely appreciate all of you guys. If you are not a member of the Facebook group, you guys should go check it out. It is That Spooky Life. You can find it real easy. And all the links are in the description of the episode. So feel free. We have a great community. Our mods are wonderful. All of our members are awesome. And you guys don't even know what you're missing if you're not there. It is a wonderful spooky time. So diving right in today. I remembered a story from my teenage years, childhood. I was a child. And I realized I'll get to it. You'll see when the math happens that I was thinking about this story, and I was like, wow, that was a long ass time ago. But this story I want to dedicate to my friend Holly, who I miss dearly and I hope to see very soon after the world calms down a little bit more. One of my best friends for a very long time now. And honestly, this story is one that always stands out in my mind, as it really was one of the first times I can remember having had a paranormal experience that wasn't just me. This happened before I had an experience, and I think it might have been within the same like year or two, because I was about the same age, but it happened before the shadow people at my friend's house, and it happened before the demon thing in the old building with Danielle, and it would happen before my other friend had the watching woods, as it were. This was really one of my first paranormal experiences that I did not experience alone. So, Holly's parents owned a historical B&B and event house in our hometown that was well known and highly sought after. They were booked out for years for like wedding receptions and weddings and things like that. It was an old Victorian house, i.e. mansion, because it was huge, built in 1882 for a lawyer and his family. And it was specifically built to be extravagant. It was passed down through something like three generations and was/is a staple historical site in our hometown. If you are curious, the house in question is the Claremont House in Rome, Georgia. Back in the olden days of my childhood, my early teenage years, I was doing a lot of plays at the community theater in town. And as my mother got to know more of the parents, I was allowed to spend the night and do more hanging out before I could drive or had a car. The first night I spent at the Claremont House, Holly and I were in a play together that was running late. I think it was a weekend and her parents were out of town, or at least like down in Atlanta for the night or something. And we had big plans to be very boring. Literally, we were just going to watch a movie with popcorn and talk and smoke cigarettes, which I believe at the time I had not revealed to my mother that I was smoking. So like, oh no, that was my big teenager thing. But like, most kids would have thrown a party, and we were like, we're gonna watch TV. We didn't even watch like bad, dirty things on TV that we weren't supposed to. We literally just watched things that we wanted to watch. So her room was at the very back of the house, and they basically lived in like the back part of the house, and then the rest of it was like the show, and you know, was put together and all this stuff. And we could come in and out of the back, like through the back gate, without being seen by the front of the house, which her parents felt was really important, because as long as we were subtle like that, then nobody would have known that there were two teenagers home alone, basically. Another friend, I think one or two friends actually stopped by for a second, but like the rules of the house were that nobody was let in if the parents weren't home, other than the, you know, me and Holly. So we respected the rules. We didn't even break the rules. Like we did not even really break any rules because they didn't come in the house. So we were the super boring, but honestly, it was a lot of fun and it was fine. And they just chilled on the porch for a bit. We chatted before we were both like, hey, we're tired. We're going to go to bed. Bye. Which bed was actually more like put on a movie, eat popcorn, and then talk for another 2 hours while we tried to sleep. Kind of tried with in quotation marks. But, you know, it's one of those nights that makes lifetime friends. We were good friends, but after that night, we had moved to best friend status. And in years to come, work, college, distance, time, families, kiddos would occur. But whenever Holly and I would catch up, it was like picking up from where we left off. And it honestly still is. 20 years later. Oofed. That's the math. Moving on. So we turned off the TV finally, and we were lying in bed like we were trying to go to sleep. And we had to get up early the next day, though I don't really remember why. But we were just deep conversation and giggling about things. And mid-giggle, we heard something out in the main part of the house. And it shattered. It was a shattering sound, glass breaking. Immediately, we were both silent. My first thought was because we'd been so good about being in and out the back and avoiding being obvious about being home since her parents weren't there, that somebody had broken in thinking that the place was empty. Looking to each other, I asked Holly in a whisper if there was any way that her parents were home, and she shook her head. Then we heard footsteps on the stairs, and I personally was now convinced that someone had broken in, and I was verging on a panic attack, like, instantly as soon as I heard the footsteps, because they were real clear footsteps. However, Holly, my beloved, fiery, fearless Aries, that is Holly, slinks out of bed, grabs something like a fire poker from, like, the fireplace area, and goes to open her bedroom door. It was either like a fire poker or a baseball bat or something. She grabbed a weapon and went to open her bedroom door before I could tackle her and, like, drag her back and beg her not to. I was trying to tell her that we needed to go out back and call the police. But she just turned around and whispered to me, "I bet it's a ghost and not a person at all." Oh, I do what now? I had heard that the Claremont house was haunted, but Holly and I hadn't really talked about it at that point, and I hadn't been thinking about it until that moment. There, sitting in the pitch black darkness, squinting to try and watch my friend go armed into the dark house with a weapon, while I could swear that there was no way that was a ghost but a person. Now, to paint the full picture here, Holly is tiny, petite, about my height, so between 5'3 and 5'6, but small and thin. So if there was anyone breaking in, I was really worried. This was before cell phones were in the hands of teenagers, and I vividly remember her Mickey Mouse phone next to the bed. That thing was cool. As I watched her disappear into the darkness best I could, I fumbled for the phone and I dialed 9 and 1, and I waited. If I heard literally anything I didn't like, I was going to hit that second one, and I was ready. No sooner had I done so, however, than I heard something else fall and roll, and I heard Holly, in normal speaking tones, say, "Nope, nope, 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 nope," as she scrambled back into the bedroom, shut and locked the door, and leapt in bed. Asking if I should dial that last one, she said, "Nope, it's the ghost." She explained that she'd made it to the bottom of the stairs just outside in the hallway. At the halfway up point, there was a landing at which there was a table with knickknacks, I think a picture or two, and a vase of silk flowers. The flowers she watched be knocked off the table, and there was no one there. She said she hoped whatever we heard break wasn't valuable, but was not going to go check, which obviously was the better course of wisdom. For the next few hours, we lay awake, hearing floorboards creak and things move outside of her room. The bedroom door was locked, and my hand ever twitching towards the phone. I did end up seeing a few odd shadows, but I was trying so hard not to sense and see things because I was terrified someone was in the house that I'm not entirely sure that wasn't just panic induced. Now, should we have called the police? Probably. Did we? No. Not how I would recommend doing it, because it's better to have the police come out and have no one be there than not call the police and have someone been there. But in the morning, after not nearly enough sleep, nothing was stolen, no windows or doors were compromised, there'd been no break-in. But there was a broken picture frame, or something glass. The first thing to have been knocked off, whatever it was shattered. And the flower vase was also on the floor that she had watched be knocked off. I spent the night there a time or two more before they moved and eventually sold the place. Footsteps, things moving, and the occasional voices could be heard. When literally no one was in the house, that house was up on a hill, there were not close neighbors, and it always sounded like it was coming from inside the house. Every time. And I bet it's still just as haunted. And that is my spooky story for the week. Do you like spooky, supernatural, and darkly fantastical things? Are you a fan of horror with maybe a slight touch of romantic tension and a healthy dose of mystery? Then Stories from the Mind of author Diana Brock may be just what you're looking for. Right now, That Spooky Life listeners are being offered an exclusive discount at www.abernathybooks.com. Use promo code SPOOKYSIDE, all one word, to receive 15% off your entire purchase of $25 or more. Shop books, face masks, and the newest edition of t-shirts for your favorite book titles while supporting independent authors and creators. That's promo code SPOOKYSIDE, SPOOKYSIDE, all one word, for 15% off your entire $25 or more purchase, just for being spooky friends of the podcast. And dive in to even more paranormal and supernatural creations at AbernathyBooks.com. And don't forget to tell them you were sent from the spooky side. Which brings us to our listener story for the week. And we have a special one because this is a first-time submitter. Welcome to the spooky side, friend. Our listener story this week comes from Carrie, and it is entitled Good Ghost Living in My House. Carrie writes, Hi, I'm Carrie. I had a few experiences with a good ghost. A few days ago, we found a single footprint on the floor near the front door. Average size shoe print, didn't match any of our shoes. We also have had a lamp in our kids' room turn on and off at odd times during the day. The big reason that we think there is a good ghost here is this. A few months ago, we misplaced a set of keys to the community pool. We looked everywhere for them. Behind and under the cushions on all of the furniture. In drawers, in shoes. In the swim bag, under beds. Heck, we even looked behind the washer and dryer. Nothing. Vanished into thin air. A couple of days ago, I thought I dropped something behind my chair's cushion. Lo and behold, there they were, on the pad under the cushion, like they were laid there purposefully. Not sure, but I think this, quote, visitor just likes to have fun with us. Never has done anything mean or nasty. Thanks for your time and interest in my ghost, Carrie. Carrie, that is lovely. I would love to think that you have a happy, like, chuckling little ghost who's just like, oh, I'm going to place these over here for a second, or they'll eventually find these, or, oh, it's been gone for a minute. I should give those back. Like, that sounds nice. That sounds lovely. I'd be interested to know if there are any. These seem really recent. You said the other day, a couple of days ago. I would be very, very interested to know more as this unfolds, if it's something that you'd be willing to share. But as it stands, thank you for sharing this. This is great. I super appreciate you. And that is our listener story for the week. Which brings us to our witchy tip for the week. And this week we will be looking at the contemplation cards. The link, if you would like to buy these, is down in the description. I am not sponsored. I just love these cards and I want to make sure that there's credit where they were due. And today the card that I have drawn for our contemplations is loyalty. Now, as usual with most of the contemplation card stuff, these things can mean different things to different people. Different times in our lives, they may change definition from what we had previously thought them to be. I've personally found that over the last 3 or 4 years, loyalty means something very different to me. Loyalty is something that can be abused. Loyalty is something that can be manipulated. Isis J is saying hello. She has opinions on loyalty. She is a very loyal, sweet baby. But it's something that if you are a person who values loyalty and you are inherently a loyal individual, which to my experience, most people are, not everyone, but most people, if you are in a toxic relationship, that loyalty can be used as a weapon against you, especially if it's one of your values, if it's one of the things that you actually hold as a deep and abiding value for yourself. I do, personally, and I have a few friends that do. And that has been turned against us. Over the last 6 or 7 years, there's been some real hard realizations, real hard conversations, real hard loss of friends in areas. And part of it is a difference of just life and path and things happen. Some of it is, how do you healthily break away from toxicity? We don't always make the best choices. I don't either. But for those who deserve your loyalty, when you discern and find people who are worth your time, worth your energy, worth your effort, worth that loyalty, it can be a beautiful thing. Personally, I don't think loyalty should ever be given. I think it should be earned. And I am lucky enough to be in a place right now that there are a great many people who have earned my respect and loyalty. Even there, however, loyalty should never be blind. Everything in this life is and should be conditional. Not love, necessarily. Unconditional love is a beautiful thing. But respect, loyalty, things along those lines need to be not only earned, but maintained. You can give loyalty to someone, and that can change. It can change if they change, if you change, if the situation changes and it's no longer appropriate. Loyalty is a deep and nuanced concept, and it should be remembered as a deep and nuanced concept. Loyalty is not a facet of your personality. It can be. You can be a very loyal individual, genuinely. You should still be cautious that where you place that loyalty is somewhere that it is deserved, is somewhere that your time, energy, respect, love, care, time is deserved. Because you are a special creature and you only have so many spoons. Make sure that they count and make sure that the places that you give those spoons are deserving. That's all. And it may mean something else different to you entirely. So I would be interested, you know, hop over to the Facebook group. Let's discuss. But that is our witchy tip for the day. It's our contemplation card for the day. If you have a spooky story that you would like to submit to the podcast, please send it to thatspookylifepodcast@gmail.com. Y'all, I need them. We're still kind of low. We've got a few, which is good. I'm happy about it. But I'm always going to need them. I always need you guys to send me all the spooky stuff. I'm super chuffed to read them, from good ghosts that, you know, take and help find keys, all the way to and through some of the creepier stuff that has been submitted here. I love all of it. So check us out on your favorite social media. I promise I'll be getting back to Instagram soon. I am feeling better. And again, thank you for all your well wishes. You guys are the best. But until next week, my dearest, darlingest, spookiest friends, do not forget to keep living that spooky life. And I will see you then. Bye.